Okay, so if we look at the Tosfos, at the top of our page, he discusses the shear for bracha achrona. Our Gemara makes it very clear that you need a shear for bracha achrona and that the shear is a kezias. The Gemara raises the question, how could Rabbi Yochanan have made a bracha achrona if he simply ate an olive? Because the volume of an olive, absent the pit, is less than a kezias. And we have one answer in a Bavli, it's a big olive, and the shear for bracha achrona is the volume of a moderate olive. And the other answer in Yerushalmi, that it was a birya, do we paskin like that? Yerushalmi we'll get to in a moment. But before we get to that point, Tosos, right at the beginning, starts discussing the question of the shear for bracha achrona on, well, I guess Tosos makes 2 points, which we should pay attention to. Point number one that Tosfos says is that there's a difference between a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. The first line in Tosfos, Lamed Tesmid Aleph, Hainu dafka bivracha shel acharav dibainan shir. That which the Gemara tells us you need to have a kezayis, that's for bracha achrona. Aval bivracha shel afanav, when it comes to bracha rishona, afilu pachos mikashir, even less than a shear, you must make a bracha rishona, because asr hanus b'el mazeh below bracha, bein l'inyan echila, bein l'inyan shtia. So we're going to talk at that line in one moment. We'll just read one more line, though. Avol b'bracha shel acharav, bein in shir mali lukmav. But for bracha chrona, for drinking, the shir is mali lukmav, as opposed to achila, which is kezayis. Al kein yesh lizar, lishtos Lizar lishtos pacha mikoshal bracha mali lugmav. You should make sure to drink from a koshal bracha at least a mali lugmav. Kadesh yivarach l'acharav main shalosh brachos, so that way you'll be able to make a bracha achron afterwards. Now, this second statement, which we'll elaborate upon in a moment, is shelo kelchasa. We paskin that outs koshal bracha, all you need is a mali lugmav, but outs bracha achrona misafik, you need a revius. Tosfos says something different. Tosfos says, "Alts kol shel bracha, you need net less than a mali lugmav, but al bracha achrona, we need a mali lugmav." So let's look at these two statements of Tosfos one at a time. So in terms of the first statement of Tosfos, Tosfos says that Tosfos implies that there's a reason why bracha rishona requires a kol shehu, and bracha achrona requires a shir. What's the difference? So Tosfos says that bracha rishona requires a kol shehu because asr lehanos me'olam hazeh below bracha. In other words, if I have a kol shehu, I have a half a kezayis, a quarter of a kezayis, I'm getting hana. And since the mechayev for bracha rishona is asr lehanos, so me'mela, you're chayv levarich al kol shehu. Whereas Tosfos implies that the mechayev for bracha achrona is different. What's the mechayev for bracha achrona? Something else. What is it? Maybe you need an achila chashuva to be chayiv for a bracha achrona. Of course, mideoraisa, you probably need svia. This is also a big machlokas rishonim. At least one gemara sounds like mideoraisa you need svia, and the shear of kezais and kebetz is just a chumra. Hey mechmira la'atzman. The gemara says, why should I be nosei panim liyisrael? Why should I show them special favoritism? Doesn't the Torah say, lo yisa panim? And Hashem says back, no, look, they are no se panim. They are so, even they make a bracha achrona even on a kezayis and a kebetza when I only said tzviya. Agav, what's the pshat in that? In other words, what's so special that this requires nesius panim? So I thought that the pshat is like this, that there's a qualitative difference between saying a bracha achrona when you're full versus saying a bracha achrona on a kezayis. What do I mean? It's easy to say thank you when you're full. So Hashem gave you enough food to eat. Now you're full. Chaltav zvatu yachtli. Say thank you. Shkayach, thank you, Hashem. But what did Klal Yisrael do? Klal Yisrael, they ate only a kezayis, and they said, we're still going to make a bracha achrona. What happens when you eat only a kezayis? you're still hungry. Somebody goes ahead, they don't even have enough to eat to fill themselves up. They just have a kezias, and they still say thank you. So that's something that's a totally different perspective. That's no seipanim. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, Hashem looks at us in a totally different way. You see that in a similar way, agav, right? The dirabanan bracha, birkas hamazon, is hatov ha-meitiv. When were they misakin hatov ha-meitiv? In Yavne, after the horrible destruction in Haruge Beitar. And so the bracha is hatov, that they're nita makura, ha-meitiv, shalo esrichu. So over here also, you know, this could have been looked at as a terrible disaster, right? It was. Thousands of people were killed. And a reaction could have been like giving up in Hashem. And instead, what did they do? They did the exact opposite. They made a bracha. They said, thank you. It's like, it's the same idea of making a bracha on a kezias. And thank you for what you gave us, even if that's all you have. And I wish I would have had more. I'm still hungry. So that's sort of a drush parenthetical point. But l'maisa, let's assume that midaraisa you need sfiyah. Midrabanan, at least you need an achil chashuva, right? Of a kezias or a kebetza. So the Machai of a Bracha Rishona and Bracha Chona are different. Machai of a Bracha Rishona is also Hanus Melam Azeh Lo Bracha. So Tosa says, therefore, Kalshu. Machai of a Bracha Chona is an Achil Chashuva. Therefore, you need Midaraisa, maybe Sviya, or at the very least, Midrabanan, Kazayas Kabetza. Good. Adkan Tosfos. So Tosa tells us that the Machai of Bracha Rishona and Bracha Chona are very different. However, there are a number of Rishonim that either A, totally equate the Machayiv of Bracha Rishon and Bracha Achrona, or B, at least partially equate them. In terms of those that totally equate them, so first of all, in Svaro, remember we saw the Rashba at the beginning of the Parak, who said that the Isser Lahanas Be'olam Azebelo Bracha is Machayiv, both the Bracha Rishon and the Bracha Achrona. But Lamaisa, the Rav Achaigon held that actually he disagrees with Tosfos. He says you don't make a Bracha Rishon on a Kol Shu. In other words, just like our Gemara says that when you make a bracha achrona on a kezayis, so too, when you make a bracha rishona on a kezayis. And if you remember, the Kesef Mishnah held that even though we don't paskin like with a chaygon, but fundamentally we do, really you should make a bracha rishona only on a kezayis. It's just that you make a bracha on a kol shu because you might eat more and it might come out to be a kezayis. So that's the other perspective of Tosus, the opposite extreme, that fundamentally, bracha rishon and bracha achrona are the same chayef, and there should be no difference in shir. Either there is no difference, that's Rav Achai, or there shouldn't be a difference, that's the Beis Yosef. However, there's a number of rishonim who say something sort of in between on this sugya and in other sugyas, and it's sort of interesting to consider their perspective. So I'll just mention a couple of them, b'kitzer. One is the psak of Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that he says that in a kol shehu, you make a shahakol, not necessarily the bracha rishona, right? So if you're going to have a kol shehu of fruit, you make a shahakal. If you're going to have a shear, then you'd make a ha'etz. What's the idea? Well, one way to say it is that the mechayev of bracha rishona on a bracha prati is whatever the same mechayev is for a bracha achrona. But the mechayev of bracha rishona on a kol shehu is another din. So mimeila, on a kol shehu, you make a shahakal, because a kol shehu is at least mechayev a bracha, but the mechayev of a particular bracha, so that is that requires a shear, something more chashev. Along similar lines, though it's a different shita, the Ravid holds, and is quoted by the Rashba on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Ravid holds that less than a kezias of bread doesn't require birkas hamazon. You make a alamechia. And the Rashba says it's so strange because the bracha doesn't change based off of the shear. So the Rashba says, therefore, you make no bracha achron at all. But you see that what the Ravid held is no, it depends how much. Just like Rabbeinu Yonah said, whether you make a chashav bracha rishona or a less chashav bracha rishona depends on the shear. So the Ravid says whether you make a more chashav bracha achrona or a less chashav bracha achrona depends on the shear. And along similar lines, Tosos, Lamed Zayin Ud Aleph, if you remember, said Bedas Rabbi Gamliel, that he would make a Birkas Hamazon on Shiva Saminim only if there was a shear. Pachos mi kashir, he would make a main chalosh, very much similar to what the Ravid holds. In other words, what bracha achrona do you make depends on how much you consume. More consumption, better bracha. Or shir, something chashav, better bracha. So what do you see? Maybe the pshat is that the ikar, again, each rishon is saying it a little differently, but there's the basic svara, that's mechayev akolshu, maybe asur lanus bol mazeh, maybe that's mechayev bracha rishon or bracha achrona. And then for something more chashav, whether it's bracha rishon or bracha achrona, it's a more chashav shir. Along similar lines, our Tosfos, Lamed Tesmid Aleph, towards the bottom, quotes the position of the Ri. The Ri holds that you make a borei nefashos on pachos mekashir. It's actually unclear exactly what the Ri is saying in our Tosfos. If you take a look at the Rush or the Tosfos HaRush, they make more clear that's what the Ri holds. In other words, to make the chash of bracha achrona, you have to have a shir. But for borei nefashos, you make that on a kol shehu. So what's the idea? Now, there's bracha rishon and bracha achrona on a kol shehu. And that's maybe because on that the mechayev is the same. Asur lahanus min alaz avla bracha, bein bracha rishon bein bracha achrona. But to make something more chashav, so then that requires a more chashav bracha achrona, that requires a shir. So anyhow, you see all these differences. Now, as we noted, Tosos then goes ahead and says, okay, so you need a shir for bracha achrona. So the shir for achila, so that's straightforward. That's a kezias. But what about on shtia? So Tosfos says something chiddush. Chiddush really two chiddushim. Number one is he says that for main shalosh, a shir is a mali lugmav. So that's a chiddush, right? You could have said it's a kezias. You could have said it's a revius. And Tosfos says the shir for bracha achrona is a mali lugmav. Mali lugmav means your cheeks being full of liquid. Now, the Gemara in Yoma says that the shear to violate Yom Kippur is mali lugmav, but that doesn't mean your whole mouth full, like, right? It means half of your mouth full, half of a mouthful. If you want to, for example, halacha lemaisa, people want to have pachos mi kishir on Yom Kippur, because they're a chola, chola shish b'am sakana, so they're allowed to eat or drink on Yom Kippur, but if they could do it, pachos mikashir, you should do a pachos mikashir. So how do you figure out what pachos mikashir is for a mali lugmav? So the answer is, Tosfos says, you fill up your whole mouth with liquid, you could spit it into a measuring glass, divide it in two, and that would be a mali lugmav. And then if you wanted to do pachos mikashir, so you do a little less than that. So if you could hold 3 ounces of liquid in your mouth, so then if you were trying to have pachos mikashir on Yom Kippur, so you'd have 1.4 ounces. So that's what Tosfos says is the shir. A revius is bigger, assuming again that a revius is a... Mali lugmav is rov revius usually. It would depend on the person. The Gemara in Yoma also says Old Mal Chabashan would have a bigger one. But typically a mali lugmav is rov revius, so it's bigger than a kezias and less than a revius. Now if you hold that mali lugmav, that's true for Yom Kippur, but for other dinim it's your whole mouth full, then it would actually be bigger than a revius. That's a position in Tosfos and Shabbos. But let's just focus on our Tosfos. So the Pashtus is that our Tosfos is saying that what's a shear for bracha achrona? Again, it's bigger than a kezias, less than a revius. And that's a chiddush. You could have said any of those other shiurim. So we have to figure out what exactly is the shear. Now, there's another chiddush here in Tosfos, which I don't think we'll talk about today. Though maybe we could talk about another time, but it's chiddush in terms of what's necessary for koshel bracha. The Gemara in Psachim says that the shear for kiddush is mali lagmav. Tosfos doesn't assume that. What does Tosfos actually think the shear is for koshel bracha? But that's today we're doing brachos, not koshel bracha. So we'll leave that for now. Yes, Moshe.
Sorry, a little hard to unmute myself. I thought the shear for Yom Kippur is kaseves gasa.
That's for food.
Only for food.
The shear for food is kaseves gasa, correct.
Okay. So liquid is melom lugmav. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So back to here. So as I said, Tosfos is clearly misupik about what the shear is, which is why he says that you should make sure to have a malig lugmav to get out of the suffix. So what exactly are the svaros? We will see in a moment that there are some Rishonim who hold that the shear for bracha achrona liquids is kezias, some who hold mali lugmav, some who hold beitza, and some who hold revias. Three and four, though, might be the same, because the Beis Yosef thinks that the opinions that say beitza is because they think beitza is a revias. We assume a revias is a beitza and a half. They're shalosh shehen arba, maybe, opinions. But the main ones, we'll say, are kezias, mali lugmav, and revias. So what's the logic of each one? What's the svar behind each one? So the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Tzadi writes that the tzad, that it's, the suffix basically is should you be medamish diya ta'achila, in which case it would be a kezias, or should we say that since the Gemara in Bracho says v'savata zu svia, it's Mem Testament base, so therefore you need shtia, which is kedei svia, which is a revias, or maybe mali lugmav. And now there's revias, mali lugmav, those are shiurim of svia. So if you think it's dumya de achila, so then you'd make a kezias. If you think it's dumya de svia, one way to look at it is, do you say v'chalta v'savata v'rachta? So the ikar mechaya for bracha achrona is when you have an achila. An achila is a shtia. But we say no. If we derive from, maybe asmachta, maybe not, but if we derive from the word v'savata shtia, so therefore it should be a shear of svia, and the shear svia would have to be more, maybe a revias or maybe a male lugmav. The Mishnah Brura says that tzadev or revias is a little different. This is in Simen Reish Yud Sifkat and Dalid. He says it as uvemashkin nami mide ashkechan be'alma le'inyan shtias mashkin asurim de chiyuvo be'revias hachanami kishetiknu bracha achrona be'mashke b'shir zet tiknu. Why'd they pick a revias? Right? At the end of the day, we paskin, you don't make a bracha achrona except on a revias. So why a revias? So Magen Avraham said that's because v'savata. The Mishmur says because that's the standard shear for onshin for liquids, right? For example, a nazir is chayev if he drinks a revias of wine. So maybe the equivalent of a kezias for liquids is a revias. For machalos achsuros, what's the shear? Generally a kezias, right? To be chayev for a nevela or treif or the like, you have to eat a kezias. To be chayev for a liquid, if you're a nazir, it's a revias. So you see that kezias, revias, they're the same, they're equivalent. So since we know that the shear bracha achrona for achila is a kezias, which is the shear iser for machalos asuros, so too the shear bracha achrona should be revias. That's the way the Mishnah Brura says it. Maybe you could say that studim a little bit differently. The Rambam writes like this in Hilchos Trumos, Perek Yud Halacha Beis. He says that what's the violation for eating truma that's aser? Kezias, right? ואין אכילה פחוסה מכזייס. וכשם שאכילה סטרומה בכזייס, כך שתייה בכזייס. In other words, when do I violate, or when am I chaya for the iser drinking truma? Let's say wine. So the answer is a kezias, not a revius, but a kezias. So what's the pshat? Why is the shear here a kezias? So the answer is l'chora, and the Radvaz more or less says it over there, that the answer is that it depends on how the formulation of the Torah. When it comes to truma, the Torah said it's an iser achila. V'ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga. So therefore, the shear is achila, and the shear is achila even when you happen to be, the shear is kezayis, even when you happen to be drinking it, because fundamentally it's an iser achila. Ma she'en kein, for example, the Rambam writes in Perek Yudalet of Machalos Asuros that the shear of stam yenam is berivius. Why? Why berivius? Because the iser is formulated as an iser shtia, right? The pasuk says yishtu yein nisichim. It's a iser of shtia. So in each and every case, we look and we want to figure out, is the shear for a liquid a kezias or a vias? We look at whether this is an iser achila or an iser shtia. There's some cases it's a little unclear, like dam. Why don't we say the dam, the shear is a revius, like arlan klei akerem? The Maamshek says that's because it's hukash l'chalav. So, but basically, by Meiser Sheni, it's revius. I don't want to go into all the details. There's a lot to discuss on that. But the fundamental idea is, and there's a very beautiful Menachas Chinuch on this, actually. The fundamental idea is that if it's an iser achila, the shear is a kezias, even when drinking. If it's an iser shtia, this shear is revius when drinking. So could be, for example, that the way to understand the machlokas about the machlokas harishonim, whether the shear bracha achrona for shtia is a revius or a kezias, is how do we look at the machayev? Again, along the lines of what we said before, if we look at the machayev as coming from the chalta v'savato v'erachta, when you have achila, you make a bracha achrona, and huadin shtia, okay, maybe midrabanan, but it's fundamentally coming off of achila. So that's the svar, that it should be a kezias. Or do we say no? The machayev here is v'savata. After all, the Gemara in Bracho says we learn out v'savata to refer to shtia. And generally speaking, what is machayev bracha achrona is the svia. It's achila that creates svia, but it's svia. Well, svia, kezias is not a shear svia at all when it comes to liquids. So therefore, the shear would be a revius. If you emphasize v'achalta, it's going to be kezias. If you emphasize v'savata, it will be revius. Along the same lines, though slightly differently, maybe the Rush says it a little differently. The Rush writes, this is in Perek Zion Simen Chaf Dalid, he says that, do you say the shear is kezias, kemo achila? Oh, shema yesh l'chalek bin svia de achila, l'svia de shtia. L'kach tov lizar. So, but maybe it's the same thing. In other words, if the shear is, okay. So do we model it after achila, or do we model it after svia, in which case it'll be a revius? Now, halach l'maisa, the Rush paskins, and this is the way we paskin, that since we're unsure, you should avoid drinking anything between a kezias and a revius. Why? Less than a kezias is for sure not chayiv in a bracha achrona, more than a revius is. But in between is a suffix. That's why, for example, Kiddush, let's say Friday night Kiddush, you only have to drink a mali lukmav, because we paskin kosher bracha requires a mali lukmav. But for Havdalah, so you should drink a revius. Why? Even though kosher bracha shabbo only requires a mali lukmav, but mali lukmav is a suffix shear. It's right halfway in between kezias and revius. So therefore, not alts Havdalah, but rather alts bracha achrona, one should make sure to drink a revius. Otherwise, after Havdalah, you'll have drunk a suffix shear, and the suffix shear, you won't be able to make a bracha achrona. Moshe.
Hi. You were saying that the shear is kezias for shasiyah if the iser is essentially an iser of achila. What about the other way around? Let's say Nasir has a popsicle made of grape juice. So that's frozen. Would that be a review?
I don't know if we'd consider that achila or not. That's a good question. We'll get back to that a little later. How do you look at, and this comes up a lot, this is a big, this is a machlokas in the contemporary poskim about a lot of things. For example, for bracha achrona, we paskin, this is that you need to have your kezias in bichtei shir achilas pras. We paskin for liquids, it's bichtei shir shtias revias, which is much less. So now that you might say that means, well, if you paskin this revias, bichtei shir revias, it means you have to like chug it straight, right? So it's clear that that's not that way. For example, the Gemara talks about a fellow who has a half a shear for liquid and then of tameh, and then goes into the mikvah and comes back out, and talks about tziruf. So now we're not going to do that sugya, but anyway, toch that sugya, there's a big discussion of your question, which is how do you define liquids and solids? What about ice cream? What about pudding? What about yogurt? And I think we'll, not today, but another shear, we'll get to that. But it's very, so you're making an assumption, I'm noting that your assumption is questionable, that we will look at a ice pops of grape juice ice pops as a solid. Is that really true? But one way or the other, I assume, to double check, but I assume the shear is, would be still revius. But that requires, I don't know, I have to look, I don't know. Okay, so back to here. Now just one lashon of that Tosfos that's very interesting to pick up on this question, and I really want to go on to some of the main topics I wanted to discuss today. The Lashon of Tosus, if you look at it on Mem Tesema Beis, where Tosus also discusses the shear. So there he has a different position than what he says in our Tosfos. There he says, Ulinian Shtia, Omeri, Diyesh Lahachmir Ulevarech Alav Afilu Pachos Mimali Lugmav. So you should be Machmir to make a Bracha Achrona, even if it's Pachos Mimali Lugmav. So again, it's a contradiction to what he says here on Lama Tesmet Aleph. But really what I want to pick up on this lashon is yesh lahachmir. What does it mean? You should be machmir to make a bracha achrona. Shouldn't we say safek brachos lahakel? So if you remember, we actually talked about this Tosfos at the very beginning of the parak. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who explained the pshat and Tosfos on Yud Beis and Aleph, that said by safek bracha rishona, you have to make a bracha. And he explained that's basically because of safek yisr lahachmir. So he says that would explain bracha rishona, but it wouldn't explain over here. It wouldn't explain bracha achrona, because bracha achrona is not alt iser. And then we saw the Pnei Yeshua over there who said, not true. Tosfos holds that this same, just like it's aser lehanos melam hazeh lo bracha is machayv bracha rishona, so also aser lehanos melam hazeh lo bracha is machayv bracha achrona. And therefore, that's the pshat in the Tosfos, that you have to be machmir on. Now, Rabbi Vega didn't want to say that, but if we say that Tosfos learns that it's the same machayev, so then we could say that. Now, still chiddush, because you still might have said, okay, that makes sense for achila. I have no choice because I have to make another bracha if I want to eat more. But by bracha achrona, so I should still say, since it's only an issur derabanan shev al tasa, it's better not to do it. But the way Tosfos might be saying it is, no, first I ask the Shaila, is there an Isser here or not? And if the answer is there is an Isser, then I have to be Machmir. Anyway, this is there's a lot here, but I really, the real discussion that I wanted to have with you today relates to the next Gemara. The bottom of the page, the Gemara about, I guess we have to have one more discussion first. So Tosfos over here, brings up the question, the Yerushalmi that says that on a birya you make a bracha achrona. And Tosfos, like many of the Rishonim over here, are uncertain whether the Bavli and the Yerushalmi disagree or do the Bavli and Yerushalmi agree. In other words, we seem to have the same story, Reb Yochanan ate an olive and he made a bracha achrona. And the Gemara is perplexed. How could this be? And we have two explanations of this. The Bavli says that the explanation is that it was a big olive, larger than olive, usual olive, and therefore the missing pit doesn't mean it was pachos mi kashir. And the Yerushalmi has a different explanation. The Yerushalmi's explanation was that it's an olive that's a birya. So one way to understand it is that this is a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, birya is not machayv v'bracha achrona. So memela, it's only if you have a shear, even if you had a whole olive, since you don't eat the pit. And the Yerushalmi disagrees. Yerushalmi said that just like we find birya, this chash of linyan malchus, if you eat a whole bug or even linyan bittel, that we say midraban on a bug is a batel if it's a birya. So too for bracha achrona, there's chashivas to a birya, and you'd make a bracha achrona even though it's less than the kazayis. But that's a machlokas. So if you see it as a machlokas and you pass in like the Bavli against Yerushalmi, and you wouldn't make a bracha achrona on the birya. However, another possibility is to say, no, they don't disagree. They're two different stories. And they're talking about two different cases. The Bavli's case maybe is talking about a case where Rabbi Yochanan had a pitted olive, an olive without the seed. So therefore, it wasn't a birya, it was pachos mikashir, and that's why the Gemara had to say it must have been a big olive. Yerushalmi's case is talking about an olive where the pit wasn't removed. So let's actually look at the Lashon of the Yerushalmi. I just have the Rashba open, so I'll read you the way the Rashba quotes it. Avish lamar de as de isa nami laha de Yerushalmi ela de Yerushalmi savid Rabbi Yochanan zay shalimachal. So according to Yerushalmi's version, Rabbi Yochanan ate a complete olive. The lo hisir gar inisei, and he didn't take out the pit. Mishum hachi, Chashiv le birya, it was considered a birya. Aval begemarin savri de lo achal garini say, the Bavli is talking about a case where he didn't eat the pit. Ela hesiro vizarko, whether he removed the pit, he threw out the pit. Vehilkach lo chashiv le birya, it's not a birya. So what's the pshat in the Yerushalmi? And the Rashba is trying to explain the Yerushalmi that it concords with the Bavli, saying the difference is that in the Yerushalmi he ate the pit, in the Bavli he threw out the pit. So the question is, what does that mean? What does that mean, Lamaisa? Does that mean that to be a birya, you actually have to swallow the pit? At first glance, when you read the Rashba, that's what it sounds like, right? Again, his lashon is that to be Yerushalmi savrid Reb Yochanan zayish shalem achav lo hisir garinise. So when I first read that Rashba, I said, oh, what does that mean? It means he swallowed the pit. Right, lo hisir gari nisei, which is a little strange. Some pits, like the Rishonim point out over here, are normal to eat, like pomegranate seeds or grape seeds. Olive pit is pretty big to swallow, but that's what it sounds like the Rashba's learning the Yerushalmi. Now, that means l'maisa, that since we're choshish for the Yerushalmi, right, we paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskin, l'chatchila, you should avoid this safek. And therefore, it is better not to eat a birya. So do you have to worry about an olive? Assuming you're not going to swallow the pit, you don't have to worry about an olive, okay? It might be still an issue with a grape, especially nowadays that the grapes don't have any pits in them anymore. But in terms of Yerushalmi, in terms of an olive, the Rashba's understanding is that you actually swallowed the olive. However, I don't think that's correct. I think it's mistaber that according to the Yerushalmi, and even the Rashba's Havana, the Yerushalmi, you did spit out the pit because nobody eats pits of the olives. They're too big. It's not the derech to eat it. And moreover, it's an even more obvious point because if you actually swallow the pit, so then you don't need to come onto birya. You've eaten a kazayas. Right? In other words, what's the whole kash of Yerushalmi and the Bavli? How could Rav Yochanan have made a bracha achrona on an olive? If all it was an olive, it's less than a kazayas. Why is it less than a kazayas? Minus the pit. But if you hold that according to the Rashba, the Yerushalmi was talking about a case where you actually swallowed the pit, so it's a kazayas, right? It is a kazayis. So then there's no kash. You don't have to come out to Birya. The whole idea of Birya is even though it's less than a kazayis, if it's a Birya, you make a bracha achrona. But this, it isn't pachos mikazayis that you swallow the pit. So l'chora, even the Rajba is talking about a case where you spit out the pit. Now you could be docha that raya. How could you be docha that raya? You could be docha that raya by saying like this. You're saying, yeah, Yushalmi is talking about a case where you swallow the pit. But even though the Yushalmi is saying you're talking about a case where you swallow the pit, it doesn't count towards the kezias because you have to eat a kezias of food. Is a pit a food? Not an olive pit. Olive pits are not food. So even if you swallowed the pit, you didn't have a kezias of ocha. And that's why the Yushalmi is saying you have to come on to Birya. So there's two ways, again, to understand how the Rashba read the Yushalmi. Okay? Option A is that the Rashba held that the Yushalmi holds that you even need to swallow the pit to be a Birya. Option B, and this is the opinion that to me is more simple, is that no, of course you spit out of the pit. Nobody swallows olive pits. But what it means is that you put the olive in your mouth whole, and then you spit out the pit. That's when you make a, that's when it's considered a birya according to your Yushalmi. But if you remove the pit before you put it into your mouth, then it's not a birya. If you remove the pit after you put it into your mouth, then it is a birya. That is the second option in the Rashba. Now, either way, the Rush disagrees with the Rashba. The Rush writes over here, Perek Vav Siman Tes Zayin, V'hai di Yerushalmi Havizai Shalim, K'shehu V'alafanav. What's the critical moment, according to the Rashba, when the olive is brought to you? If it had a pit in it when it was brought to you, then it's a birya. Afagav shesh l'chagar inim, even though you spit out the pit, Kevan Shuva L'fanav Shalem, since it was brought to you while whole, the nenem ibirya shlema, mashiderach lechom imena, yesh kan shir. So, and the Rush continues in that vein. So according to the Rush, if you brought me a whole olive with a pit, and then I remove the pit and eat the olive, that's still a birya. And according to Yerushalmi, you'd have to make a bracha achrona, right? And when is it not a safek? When is it not a birya? Pitted olives, right? Like you go to the store and you buy pitted olives. When I opened the can, when it was brought before me, there was no pit in it. So the Rush, either way, argues with the Rashba. So as I said, this shaila is halach lemaisa. So let's look at the Lashon of the Ramah for just a moment. Reish Yud Sif Aleph. The lo mikri birya, ela im achlo kimo shehu. Aval im laka chagarin mimenu lo mikri birya. So the Rush, the Ramah's Lachar being machriya like the Rashba against the Rush. And that's, if you look at the Gra, that's what the Gra says. The Gra writes that zeuka Rashba, shbir shalmi anal mayri, sheachal es hagarin de lo ka Rush. Okay, so the Ramah paskins like the Ramah, like the Rashba against the Rush. But we still don't know what's the pshat in the Rashba. And for that matter, we don't know what's the pshat in the Rush. Now, in Ramah, is the Ramah saying you actually have to swallow the pit? Or no? Even if you spit out the pit, but you put it into your mouth whole. So as I said before, I assumed that the Rashba meant, and therefore I assumed that the Ramah meant, that you don't actually have to swallow the pit. It means if you put the olive in your mouth whole and you spit out the pit, that's a birya. However, I saw that the Maimer Mordechai does not learn like me, and also the Mishnah Berurah. As I got to the Maimer Mordechai, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maimer Mordechai. According to the Maimer Mordechai and Mishnah Berurah, according to the Rashba, you actually have to swallow the pit. When the Rashba says, Zayish Shalim Acha Velo Hirsir Garanise, means Acha literally, he swallowed the pit. In which case, it's an extreme machlokas, right? It's Tzvaras Hafuchos. According to the Rashba, you need to swallow the pit to be a birya. According to the Rash, it's a birya even if you remove the pit before you put it into your mouth. As opposed to the way I understood the Rashba, which is that according to the Rashba, you spit out the pit after you put it into your mouth, as opposed to the Rash, where you just remove the pit before you put it in your mouth. Is there anyone that learns like me? against the Mishnah Berurah and the Maamar Mordechai? So the answer is, if you look at the Prima Gada Menorah Sugya, Rosh Yosef, he learns exactly like I said. He said, according to the Rajba, it means you spit out the pit after you put it into your mouth, according to the Rush, even if you remove the pit before. Okay. So one last point, main point actually, that I wanted to talk about today is the Sugya at the bottom of the page, Maid Shivsa. So we already talked about the Sugya of Mei Shlakos, so we're not going to go back into that again. Though there's more to say. But I do want to talk about Maid Shivsa. Shivsa, I think, is aniseed. I think that's the flavor of like black licorice. So the Gemara, after having concluded that Mei Shlakos are Hadama, so vegetable broth is Hadama, the Gemara says, well, what about Maid Shivsa? And the Gemara says, well, it depends. What is the goal of the Shivsa? Is the Shivsa coming to give a tam? Then Maida Shivsa is going to be Adama. Or is the Shivsa coming Lahavir Azuama? In which case, it would be a Shahakal. And the Gemara concludes, yeah, it's coming to be no Saint Tam, and therefore Maida Shivsa is also Hadama. And the Gemara proves this from a din of Truma. That the lashon over there is mishanasan tam kedera, ein bo mishan truma. When the shivsa gives tam into the kedera, then it no longer is din of truma anymore. The shivsa veinu matami tomas ochlin. In other words, if I take this shivsa and I use it to give tam into the kedera, and then I take it out, I don't eat the shivsa. I take it out. So now there's no more tumas ochlin in the shivsa, right? Because it's not ochel anymore; it's all spent, sort of like a used tea bag. And therefore, there's no more tumas ochlin anymore. There's no trum anymore, right? The Rashi says, "Ein ba bivad shelah mishenas nuhu b'kedera, ein ba misham iser truma." Davikates b'alma after it gives the tam into the kedera. So then it's like Eitz Ba'alma. Okay. That's what he says. Now, this raises a very interesting question, which is, what bracha should you make on tea? So if I were reading this Gemara, I would say that the bracha achrona, the bracha rishon on tea should be Hadama. And the bracha rishona on coffee would probably be a height. Why? Because what is tea? Tea is mamish like shivsa, right? You put it in lahatim. You put it in lahatim. You put it in to make your water flavored. If you put in tea, then you make it taste like tea. If you put in coffee, it tastes like coffee. And then after it's done, it's just like shivsa. It's garbage, right? A used tea bag goes in the garbage. Used coffee grounds. They you could use them to fertilize your field, but they're done in terms of food. So therefore, according to our Gemara, it would seem that the appropriate bracha on tea and coffee is Hadama and Ha'etz, which of course is not the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is Mek Shakal on tea and coffee, so you have to figure out why. Now, the truth is, that there are some people that make a Hadama on tea. The Tshuvas Panim Eros, Chelav Beis Simen Koftar. He has two tshuvas on this, but in the first tshuva, he writes, "I knew of a Gadol Achad who made a Hadamanti." He's into making Hadamanti, and he doesn't reveal who his source is. And then some other Achron challenged him. So in his second tshuva, which is in Chelav Beis Simen Koftar, he reveals who is this Gadol Achad who made Hadamanti. It's none other than Harav Hagadol HaChasid Morenu V'Rabenu Harav Hagon Shmuel Satin. I don't know who that is. Anyway, but there was some great gadol from 200 years ago named Rosh Shmuel Satin who made bracha Pri Adama on tea. Okay? So it makes a lot of sense. So is there any justification for what we do? We don't, of course, make a bracha achrona on a bracha rishona on tea. So, The answer is we have to let's go back to the beginning of our sugya. So the Gemara says that you make a shehakol if it's b'ayim lahavir azuma, right? If the purpose of the shivsa is lahavir azuma, you make a shehakol. So what are we talking about? Sounds like we're talking about some type of tavshil. I would guess it's like a little spoiled or something. It doesn't taste so good. Nowadays, when things don't taste so good, then most people throw them out. But in the Gemara said, well, maybe one solution is to mix in some aniseed, and now it won't taste so bad because the shivsa takes away the zuama. And since it doesn't smell so bad, it doesn't taste so bad, so then it becomes edible again, and you would eat it. In that case, if it's just lahavir azuma, then you make a shakal. Mashallah devadome, the halacha is that you make a bracha on perfume. Person who puts on perfume, if it's real perfume at the very least, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says with synthetic perfume, you don't. So real perfume. So do you make somebody's wearing perfume, it smells nice, do you make a bracha? So the halacha is it depends. If they're putting on perfume as deodor to get lahavir azuma, then you don't make the bracha on the perfume. But if they put on the perfume to smell good, so then you do. So the Gemara says the same thing with the shivsa. If it's coming lases tam, so then you make a adama. If it's lahavir azuma, then you make a shakal. So I don't understand. Let's say it's lases tam, but still, why should that be kovei the bracha? In other words, what are we talking about here? Like we said, I don't know. We're talking about some type of dish. It doesn't taste so good. I put in the shivsa, now it tastes lovely, like black licorice. So, but just because it's coming to be no Saint Tom, why should that be kovei the bracha? What about everything else in it? So maybe you'll say, oh, Tom kicker, right? Some of the chevra here, the learning yardei, Tom kicker. So Tom is kicker. And maybe that's the whole chiddush of shlakos also. What's the idea of shlakos? Why do you make adam and vegetable broth? Because of tam kicker. We go busser the tam. And what's the ikker? The tam. Now that's a chiddush. Because obviously, nobody would think, I imagine, if you put some pepper on your meat, now you should make ha'etz. We talked about before, what's the brach on peppers? Hadamah, shahakol, right? I mean, ha'etz, shahakol, or hadamah, three opinions. But the point is, nobody's going to say, oh, I put a little pepper on my meat, so now, tam kicker, dicker's the pepper, how did not? So why do we say the same thing over here by shivsa? So maybe the pshat is that this is a little bit different because here, maybe we're talking about water. In other words, I was assuming that lahavir azuma, probably we're talking about some type of tavshil, that is like bad. But maybe it's talking about water that's bad. In other words, again, think back to your analogy of tea. A person could make tea for one of two reasons. One is that they like the taste of tea, and two is because the water is bad, and the taste of tea will overpower the bad taste of the water. Right? In theory, you could have both of those options. So maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about. The reason why the person put the water in the shivsa, we're talking about water here, not like a dish of food, like I said before. And the shivsa is coming to get rid of the bad taste of the water. Well, if that's the case, then I could understand why that's the ikker. Why would I say that that's the ikker? Very simple, because the reason why that would be the ikker is because water isn't chashev. We saw the Rishonim make that svara before. In other words, we saw that by the beer, by the coffee, and the rush. Not by the coffee, by the beer and the rush. But some achronim say that by coffee, the ibits, right? That the point is that when it comes to water, since there's not so much chashivas to water, so whatever is being no Saint Tom into the water is the ikker, is what's kovei the bracha. Right, if you remember when we learned Hilchos Bishalakum a couple of years ago, so we saw that some achronim say that the reason why there's no problem of Bishalakum by coffee is because it's just flavored water. So maybe that's the same thing over here. Well, no, actually, that's the opposite svara. That's saying the water's the ikker. This is saying, this would be the svara why those who say that you should, like the Ivets, that you should aser coffee al tzbishal akum, because the ikker is the coffee, where the ikker is the ikker is the taste. And that's because there's no chashivas to water.
We saw that in the rush about the chamisha.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. That's where we saw the svara in Hilchos Brachos. Good. So if so, so then maybe that's the svara. Now, of course, if that's true, then hadra kusha l'duchta, then you should make a bore pri hadama on tea, right? Because again, our tea. If you're putting tea in your water because the water tastes bad, so then fine, then you'd make a shakal on tea. But if you're putting tea into water because you like the taste of tea, which is the reason why everybody nowadays drinks tea, or almost everybody, right? Then you should really make a bore pri hadama. So is there any basis for the minhag olam, right, which is of course to make a shakal on tea? So l'chayra, there might be a machlokas rishonim about this. So if you remember, the Rush said that mei shlakos are hadama, more or less, because of Tom Kicker. Tosfos on Lamed Chesem and Aleph said, why do we make a shakal on shechar? According to one answer in Tosfos, it's because lo have behu mamish se'orim. So if you learn like that, then who adin ti, right? In other words, if you look at Sheikhar as time of Alma, and that's why beer is shakal, so then tea also will be shakal, because it's anu ala time of Alma. Of course, according to that theory, then you have to ask, why do you make a hadama on Meishlakos? Meishlakos is also time of Alma. So one possibility, this we talked about last time, is to say that Tosos was only saying his rule about Bar Mimizonos, right? Bar Mimizonos is when we say, when it's time of Alma, we won't say Mizonos. But if it's Hadama, we will. But we saw that the Gra didn't say that way. The Gra held that Tosos was Svara wasn't just true vis-a-vis Mizonos. At least he said that by the drinking, right? Tosfos said that anything that's a drink is going to be, I'm sorry, the Gra said in Tosfos and in the Rambam that anything that's a drink is a shahakal. So the first answer is, why would we make a shahakal on tea? The answer is, we hold like the Gra. The Gra, who thinks we paskin like that answer in Tosfos, that anything that's a drink is shahakal. And he learns that's also the view of the Rambam. So he would agree that beer, coffee, those are both drinks. It's not like broth. Broth is a food. In other words, again, how does the Gra read Tosfos? Don't look at the difference between food and drinks as liquid and solids. No, food and drinks is really tully and kavana. Why are you drinking this? Right? If you're drinking this because of you're thirsty, so it's a drink. And then it's a shakal, no matter what. If you're drinking it because it's a food, like soup, so then it would be a hadama or potentially a mizonos or the like. Someone who is having tea soup, so maybe that would be hadama. But that's not the way anyone drinks tea. People drink tea in a cup, and it's basically a drink. Now, the truth is some cases aren't so clear, like schnapps. Right? Did we talk about schnapps last time? We didn't mention this. So schnapps is a little bit uncertain, because do you look at schnapps as a drink or not? There's a, we didn't get to talking about this today. I was going to talk with you about it earlier, but I skipped it. But there's a famous discussion about the bracha achrona on schnapps. Why? So the pasha pshat is, that the bracha achrona would be if you drink a revius of schnapps. And likewise, if you're going to make kiddush on schnapps. Now, you can't make kiddush on schnapps pashtus, because schnapps is, because nowadays, even though the halachas we paskin that for Shabbos day you can make kiddush on chamer medina, that is the way we paskin. But lemaisa, that's only when it's chamer medina. In other words, pashtus, there is no... In a place where there's an abundance of wine, where wine is easily available, like nowadays, then you can't, then schnapps wouldn't be chamer medina. But let's say you're makel on that shaila, and you say, no, that schnapps is always chamer medina, even, and it's true that we have an abundance of wine, but the reason why we have an abundance of wine is just sort of for a technicality. Because what do I mean to say? That it's still not the wine that's normally drunk at a normal meal. When the Gemara says that when there's abundance of wine, then beer, let's say, is in Chama Medina, that's because that was the wine that they drank at their meals. They would drink wine. Nowadays, nobody drinks wine at beer at meals. They don't drink beer at meals. We drink water at meals. We drink juice at meals. So anyway, let's imagine that you think schnapps is Chama Medina. Fine. So if you think schnapps is Chama Medina, so then you'd be allowed to make kiddush on the Shabbos day. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, among them writes, okay, but you have to have a shear. So what did we say before was the shear? You have to have a coast that's machzik or revius, and you have to drink at least a mali lugmav. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to make kiddush on schnapps, you need to drink a mali lugmav. So fine. So that's why the way most people make kiddush on schnapps, they fill up a shot glass and they drink it. The shot glass is 1 ounce, right? An ounce and a quarter. It's not a mali lugmav. It's not a revius for sure. So that would be inappropriate. So Rabbi Shechter always quotes that the kasha klover was miyashev, the minag, which is common among Hasidim and Hungarians, to make kiddush on schnapps. And he said, no, because according to Taisfis, what is schnapps? Is schnapps a liquid or a solid? Or I shouldn't say that, it's definitely liquid. Is it a mashker or is it an ochel? Well, why do you drink schnapps? Does anyone drink schnapps because they're thirsty? No, I hope not. Then you have bigger problems, right? So you drink schnapps. I don't know why people drink schnapps. I guess they like the taste. They think it's chashev. They want to celebrate. They like to get
Shechter when he's sick.
Shechter when he's sick.
Given multiple chaburas where he gives that example that he has schnapps when he's not feeling well.
Or when he's learning with that guy who comes and gives him schnapps from the thermos, right? So... But nobody drinks schnapps because they're thirsty. So therefore, maybe, said the kasher klover, it's not a drink. What is it? So it's not, I don't know if it's an ochel either. You don't drink it, eat it to fill up. But he assumed that if it's not a mashke, it's an ochel. So now the guy, kasher klover, says, okay, good. So schnapps is an ochel, right? So what's the shear for achila? Is the shear revius? No. What's the shear kazayas, right? He goes back to the first half of our shear today. What did we say before? What's the reason? What's the tzah? Why is it that you need for bracha chrona on liquids a revius? Because that's the shear for drinks. So if we're going to define schnapps as an oichel, not a drink, so what's the shear? Kazayas. Well, schnapps glass is a kazayas probably. Depends how big your kazayas is and how big your schnapps glass is. But many schnapps glasses are probably a kazayas. They are, right? Ray Willig thinks a kazayas is 22.5 cc. Typical schnapps glass is 1 ounce, which is 29.5 cc. So a schnapps glass is a kazayas, right? So that's the kasher klover's great part. He says, if you're going to make kiddush on schnapps, all you need is a kazayas. Unbelievable. So Shechter always points out when he says this over that Reb Chaim Volozhiner understood his chap 100 years earlier and said, but you're wrong. You're right. You're absolutely right that schnapps is an oichel, not a mashke. But Chomer Medina can't make kiddush on ochel, certainly not by day, right? Chomer Medina has to be a drink. So you're right that kiddush is an oichel, not a mashke, but then you can't make kiddush on it. I mean, that schnapps is an oichel, not a mashke. We can't make kiddush on it. You can't make kiddush on oichlin. Kiddush is on a mashke achashev, on Chomer Medina, mashke that's chashev. Now, agav, if you hold like both from Chaim Volozhiner / the kasher klover, so what bracha do you make on schnapps? No?
Mizonos.
Correct. So did the kasher klover, when he made kiddush on schnapps, did he tackle, he made a mizainus? But it didn't mean a mizainus. The answer is he probably didn't. Because remember, he held, there are three answers in Tosfos. One of them is this chiluk between ochel mashke. According to that answer, the kasher klover said, yeah, it would be mizonos. There's two other answers in Tosfos. So therefore, misafik, you'll make a shahakol. But all three answers could agree to the yisod that schnapps is a oichel, not a mashke. It just, It's only the third answer that says that's koveh the bracha rishona. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, it will be ochal. The shear is going to be kazayas, but misafik he'll make a shahakal. He didn't actually make a mezainus on his kiddush. Anyhow, so back to here. Why do we bring all this up? Because we were just saying. So why is it one svara? If you hold of that answer in Tosfos, that anything that's a liquid, that's a drink, is a shahakal, and that's the reason for beer, then it would make sense why tea and coffee are both a shahakal, because they're a drink, right? Good. But so that's a great answer, right? But is that the best answer for the Minhag Olam? So maybe. Schechter thinks that we actually pass in this way, and maybe the Vilna Gaon as well. But it's not a super answer, because if you remember, most Rishonim did not hold to this answer. How do I know? First of all, most Rishonim, even Tosfos gives two other answers, right? And moreover, I'll say better. Remember, most of Rishonim, when they're trying to figure out, why don't we make a ha'etz on juice, right? And what did they give Tosfos' answer? That it's a liquid? That it's a drink? They gave a million other answers, right? Rabbeinu Yonah, it depends. It's a shtani liluy or legriusa, the Rashba, depending on his derech. So many, many shitos don't hold to this. Okay. So do we have any other explanations why tea would be a shahakal? So let's ask a different question. According to the Ritva and the Ra'ah, would you make a shahakal on tea or hadama? No? What did the Ritva and Ra'ah say about shlakos? When do you, if you had pure broth, do you make a hadama on me shlakos?
You make a shahakal according to the Ritva.
Right. It's only when you're also eating the shelek that you, we say that the shelek potters the me shlakos. Right? So, assuming you're not going to eat your tea bag, right? So it's very simple why, according to the Ritva and the Ra'ah, you don't make a hadama on tea. You'd only make a shahakal on tea. And even though most Rishonim don't hold the Ritva and the Ra'ah, we mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah slash Ha'atzion does bring down this far. Now, you'll ask a question, one second. If the Ritva and the Ra'ah are right, how do they even explain our Gemara? What's the pshat on Mei Shivsa, right? Because Mei Shivsa, you also don't eat that, right? We said it's like Ke'etz Be'alma. So they talk about the bullet, and they say, yeah, when is it that Mei Shivsa is going to be Hadama if you happen to eat the Mei Shivsa? So what does he mean? What does it mean, L'havir Hazuama? So it's a Einfeld. He says, L'havir Hazuama doesn't mean to take out the bad taste from the food. It means to take out the bad taste from the Shivsa. Right? If it's lahavir azuma, if it's to take out the bad taste from the shivsa, so then you make a shahakal. But if it's not, it's because of lahatim, then you make hadama, but only if you actually eat the shivsa. We said it's kates ba'alma. You have to say that's a little lavdafka. It's not mamish kates. Anyway, so according to the Ritva and Ra, we know why we make a hadama, a shahakal on tea. According to the Gra, we know why we make a shahakal on tea. Right? Are there any other explanations why we would make a shahakal on tea? Because so far, these opinions are not the mainstream or not the majority opinion. So maybe the answer is that we only make hadama on mesh shlakos when you would make a hadama on the shlakos, right? In other words, if I have broccoli broth or a zucchini broth, so since if I ate broccoli, I would make hadama on the broccoli. So if I make the broth, eat the broth, I would make hadama on the broth. But if I ate a tea bag, would I make hadama? No, it's not food. So therefore, I don't make a hadama on tea. Now you'll say, but that's not really accurate because nobody, then may shivsa also shouldn't be hadama, right? Because nobody eats shivsa. So that's not going to be a very good answer. Unless you hold to the Ritva that shivsa is edible, right? According to the other Rishonim Pashto, shivsa isn't edible. So that's not going to be a good answer. But there's another yishuv. And this is given by the Prach Mate Aron. And this is based off of a Rush and Shuva, which I think we saw in a different context already. The Rush is talking about beer / mesa orim. And he's saying, you know, why don't we make a mezonos or adama? So he writes, "V'lo dami l'maya de shalki, dehanach iker bishulam b'shvil ha'irakos." when is it that you make hadama on vegetable broth? When the ikar bishul is before, because of the irakos. In other words, even though I'm not eating the irakos now, right? But the ikar bishul is for the irakos, right? I was cooking some broccoli, and my main point is to cook the broccoli. Then if I eat the broccoli broth, I also make hadama. But if not, but otherwise, what's the halacha? What bracha do I make? I make a shehakol. Do we paskin like this? So this rush isn't quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but it is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah as well. So now, parenthetically, this is the opposite of the Rambam, L'chayra. Why? Because remember, what did the Rambam say? The Rambam said, when is it that you make a hadama on mei shlakos? When your goal is when you cook them l'mei mehen, to drink the broth, right? When you cook them for the purpose of the vegetables, then the mei shlakos are shahakol. The Rush holds fakert. When you cook them for the purpose of the vegetables, then the mei shlakos are shahakol. What's the reason? I assume the svar of the Rush is very similar to the svar of the Gra, which is that then there's shaychus between the broth and the food, right? When my goal is to eat the food, the shlakos, then we say there's shaychus between the broth and the food. So therefore, the broth is also hadama, just like the food. So if that's true, so now it's very glatt, because the reason why we don't make the bracha on, we make a shakal on tea, is because we're not cooking the tea bags for the purpose of the shlakos, for eating the tea bag. No, we're only doing it to flavor the water. Same thing with coffee. So according to that Tshuva Sarash, which as I mentioned, is quoted by the poskim Lemaisa, and again, it ends up being actually a similar svara to the gra, I think. So then that would be another reason why you would make a shahakol on tea and coffee. And as I said, where is it quoted? Lahalacha, if you want to see, it's in Simen Reish Sif Katan Yud of the Mishnah Berurah, talking about shlakos. He writes, Davka kshashalku kadei lachol es hayirakos, deilu bishal yirakos, o sharan letzarach meimein levad, lishdos o son, en mevarich ala shahakol. Now there's another issue, which we dealt with a little before, which is how to shtim what the Rush says in Shuvos with what he says in the Psukim. So b'kitzur nimratz, why do we make a shakol on tea? We have four answers. Number one, I'll pi the gra. Number two, I'll pi the ritva. Number three, I'll pi tosvos, that we always make a shahakol on something that's ikaromayim, right? Anything that's ikaromayim, we make a shahakol. And number four is the tshuva sarash, that the only time you make a hadama on mei shlakos or mei shivsa is when the ikar is being cooked for the when you're cooking it to eat the shlakos. Now again, it's a little schwer in terms of shivsa, but that's what he says. Okay. So that's the yeshiv. Okay. So we'll stop here. I know Yosef, you had a bunch of questions, so you could ask your, you want to ask your questions now? You're muted.
Yeah. Do you want to end the recording first or?
Yeah.